The high 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show, this Thursday edition for July 17th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfeld, alongside Manny the Controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. We're ready to rock and roll this morning as we wrap up SEC Media Days 2025 over in Atlanta. Today on the docket, the final four teams, and I hate to say it's anticlimactic, but it sort of is. Alabama yesterday, of course, Tuesday, you had a really big lineup with Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee, and Texas. And then yesterday was Alabama Day. And today you've got Missouri, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. So having covered these things many times, let me tell you, Chase, how it works. By this afternoon, you'll have people there that are really interested in Arkansas and A&M. Most everybody else will have left the premises, will have departed. It starts clearing out, especially with, again, nothing against those teams. But, you know, I don't know why they don't. Now, A&M's a fairly big draw. They got to keep the Texas media there. I do get that. But Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri aren't going to hold a lot of people. So I guess they're counting on A&M. They do have Elko going last at 2:45, so that's probably pretty good strategy. But it'll start clearing out today over in Atlanta. But yesterday was Bama Day. We played Jakalen DeBoer yesterday. Wimp and Barry had him live, his press conference on their show yesterday. Then I played a good portion of it. Today, we've got Deontay Lawson, Alabama fifth-year senior linebacker, and Caden Proctor, Alabama junior left tackle, ready to go as well. So we'll look forward to hearing some of that audio. The lineup for today is a good one. Now, Marcel Darius is scheduled to join us, and hopefully he will. Chase talked with him yesterday. He knows we're calling him at 9:30, the former Alabama, great defensive lineman. Of course, remembered as a true freshman for that touchdown fumble recovery, or actually turned out to be an interception. He caught it in the air, but kind of changed the national championship game around and propelled Alabama to victory in 2000 and following the 2009 season. Then went on to a good NFL career, made a lot of money with the Bills and the Jaguars, and now we're going to catch up with him hopefully and find out what he's up to these days and how often he still gets asked about that touchdown in the national championship game. So Marcel Darius scheduled to join us at 9:30. At 10:30, Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor, ABC 3340 in Birmingham. We'll talk about SEC Media Days with Jeff. As I said, we've got some player audio from Alabama. One quick note before we start taking some phone calls. Auburn wide receiver Malcolm Simmons, an explosive playmaker, was arrested Wednesday on a charge of domestic assault with strangulation or suffocation. That's according to the Lee County Sheriff's Office records. He was booked into Lee County Jail at 6:20 Central Time. His bond was set at $20,000. Those are serious charges. I don't have to say much more than to read them out. So this comes on the heels of Auburn linebacker or former Auburn linebacker DJ Barber being arrested earlier this month, facing multiple drug charges, including trafficking. He was dismissed from the team last week, and now Malcolm Simmons in some rather serious trouble. Terrific wide receiver from Ben Russell High School in Alex City, was scheduled to be a sophomore for Auburn this year and still may very well be on the team, but he's got bigger issues right now than playing football. All right, let's go ahead and because Bryce called in early, ready to go this morning, so let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904, and I'll do Alabama Credit Union for the first hour sponsor when we come back to the second segment. But let's go and get Bryce on because he's been waiting for a few minutes. Hey, good morning, Bryce.
Hey, listen, I asked our associate yesterday a question, and he wouldn't answer it.
So what was the question?
Who you'd rather have, Caleb DeBoer or Hugh Freeze?
I'd rather have Caleb DeBoer myself.
Well, we all know that And we know he does, too, but he don't want us to know that.
Okay.
So I would like for you to ask him the same question, see what kind of response you get, Gary, when you talk to him. He don't ever want to be wrong on anything. You
know? Well, I think most of us like to be right, but that doesn't mean I don't think Hugh Freeze is – I think Hugh Freeze is a good coach. But, if you know, I think Alabama is, you know, just fine with Kalen DeBoer, and if I had to choose between the two, I'd take Kalen DeBoer. But that doesn't mean I don't think Hugh Freeze can coach, and I think Hugh Freeze will have an opportunity possibly to turn Auburn around. But I would definitely take Kalen DeBoer.
Well, yeah, and we know that. And he would, too, but he just don't want us to know. Real quick, with something else, I don't know if you know this. Did you know Little Florence, Alabama, is getting a Hard Rock Hotel?
I did not know that. What, up there on the river?
Yep. It's going to be downtown where the Days Inn, and I think they're going to remodel it. I'm just flabbergasted that that Huntsville and Madison didn't win out on that deal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's
everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome for Florence. It just usually, yeah. I thought, wow, I wonder if they're, you know, there's no casino gambling or anything up there. But I guess that's a beautiful area. I guess they figure it's it'll draw in some visitors.
What I think is because the stadium, too, the new stadium's opening up. It's going to be ready for 28, but the new stadium's supposed to be together next year.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's what I think. I think it's because it's a new stadium.
Well, that's great. You know? That's awesome for Florence, man. So
little bitty Florence. Getting a Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people are going to be jealous on that deal. But, you know, people really want to run with this media thing about Coach Saban. You know, I'm confident, and you know how – you know this right here. I'm so confident that he's not coming back in to coach. If he was to ever come back in to coach, and it would be pro, I don't think he'd go to college route. I'm confident enough to know I'm going to be the next coach at Alabama. That's how confident that he's not coming back. That's why I'm out on that deal. I don't know where you're at.
I agree with you. I don't. I think he's done coaching. I my opinion is he's done at every level. I don't think he's coming back to college or the NFL. And as I said earlier this week on my show, I'm really surprised that Greg McElroy even put that out there. He backtracked and walked it back and said that he did not expect Nick Saban to coach again. But, you know, he tried to attribute it to, well, that's what I was told by someone that knows him well. But, you know, I would not, if I had somebody that knew Nick Saban really well, and they said, hey, Gary, I think he's going to coach again, I would not go put it on the radio. And I'm just surprised that Greg McElroy did. And I think he probably, maybe wishes that he hadn't, but I've had other people tell me, no, he's glad that he did because it's given him a lot of buzz. And
that's the reason why he done it.
Yeah, so.
So what else have I missed? I had an opportunity to visit with my nephew. He's going to be a senior at Hartman High School baseball player. He hurt his knee. He hit a home run to win the game, you know, and his luck's about like mine. He's jumping up and down, and he threw his knee out.
Oh,
and
Lord.
He's rehabbing right now. You know, back when he was playing travel ball, he was like one of the second most sought-out players for 26th class, you know, for next year's class. But he said that the letters and stuff have stopped, you know, but maybe he goes out and has a good year, but he said he might go to junior college route. The guy's 6'5", 230, Jerry. Big boy.
Yeah.
And he's all muscle, too. He ain't fat.
Wow.
You know, and he's at least 6'5". He may be taller than that. It seems like every time I see him, he gets taller. That's my oldest sister's grandson.
Wow, man. But, good luck to him.
He said Spartan's got a lot coming back this year. They should be pretty good, you know. I got to have lunch with him and his sister. I can't believe he's a senior and she's a junior. They both go to Spartan. But
And I eat at Applebee's over in Madison, and she was working over there as a hostess, and just so happened the whole family was over there, and I got to visit with them, and I enjoyed that because I had to go to eye doctor Madison yesterday. But I did want to share that about the Hard Rock Hotel, Florence.
Well, that's great news. That's a big shot in the arm for Florence. Appreciate it, Bryce.
And they open up against Western Kentucky.
UNA does?
Yep.
Okay. You know, are they going by – they don't like to be called UNA anymore, do they? They have to be called North Alabama, right?
Well, that's what I've always called them. But that's a good question. But a lot of people do call them North Alabama.
Yeah, they kind of got away from the letters. But all right, thank you, Bryce.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Hey, one other thing.
Okay.
Do you know – I saw Sam Shade on the news last night. You know if Coach Callie, they call him – Antonio's with him, or is he coaching anywhere? Do you know?
You talking about Antonio Langham?
Yep.
I don't think he's coaching anywhere.
Man, I was hoping he'd get with Sam because I want him. I think Sam would turn that program around.
Yeah, I do too. He's a good coach. I'll double check on that, but I don't think Antonio's coaching. But I'll give it a check. Hey, thanks, Bryce.
Don't forget to check out Cowboy now.
All right,
and get him to own up.
I'll do it. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. 9:19 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're off and running, and we'll come back on the other side of the break, and I'll tell you about Alabama Credit Union and kind of reset the stage. And anyway, it's SEC Media Day's wrap-up day over in Atlanta, but it's not over yet. And we'll be talking plenty of college football this morning, and looking forward to it. We'll be right back here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
On the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Mayor Maddox and other city officials will cut the ribbon for the new fire station number 6 today. That ceremony is set for 9 on the site of the previous Harngrove Memorial United Methodist Church. The previous station number 6, located in front of the VA Medical Center, closed in 2021 after 54.
WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing. Online at BeDryAlabama.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide!
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and
outline at 800-505-9257. 800-505-9257. 800-505-9257.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:23, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. This hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right. Also today, and Northern Ireland obviously is quite a bit ahead of us in terms of the time, several hours. But the first round of the Open Championship is underway. And I'm going to give you a leaderboard update. Royal Portrush Golf Club. Jacob Skov Olsen and Hoytoing Lai and Matt Fitzpatrick are the leaders. All three of those guys have finished their rounds. They fired four under 67s. So they are in the clubhouse with the lead. Matthew Jordan is at minus three. And a lot of players, of course, still waiting to get started, including Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and Tommy Fleetwood. In fact, they did just tee off. So they're off and playing the first hole. But McIlroy is my pick to win. I'd love to see Justin Thomas win. Tommy Fleetwood is a guy that we're just all amazed he's never won a PGA Tour event. But he is he's in that star group. Davis Riley, former Alabama golfer, had a tough day. He shot 6 over 77. And Bud Colley, the other former Alabama golfer in the field. Let's see if we can find Bud real quick. I'll look for Bud. And this note, Antonio Langham is not coaching football anywhere. And let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotline and welcome in the sheriff. Hey, Tom.
Gary, I'm looking at Justin, and of course, guess what?
Oh, no, he started poorly.
Yeah, he hit the ball in the damnedest place on the first hole that you could hit it. I mean, the worst. And now he's putting for a bogey.
What? Where did he hit it?
University of Alabama golfers in majors, they didn't perform well. That's what you can say.
Well, where did he hit it on the first hole?
Okay, he had an approach of about 160 yards into the hole. He pulled it left, and it went down in this swampy, gully-like. And then he had to putt it because the speed of the green on number one is just killer today. So he putted it, and where'd it go? It didn't go anywhere. It stayed on top of the rough. Or the fringe, and then he had to put the par from the fringe. I mean,
well, is he gonna make bogey?
Been there all week. You've been there all week. You know not to hit it there.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean to.
You know what? If you're gonna be elite, you miss it, and if you do miss it there, you get up and down.
Well, it's one hole. Hopefully he'll make the five and move on and get on a roll. Bud Colley is even through six. By the way, hopefully JT will make the bogey. I hope he doesn't make six.
Who's even through six?
Bud Colley is, yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
No,
that's
not at all.
But the weather's improved because I was watching early this morning. I mean, it was full out rain gear, umbrellas, rain suit, everything.
Well, hopefully JT will get. Did he make the five?
JT did, yeah.
Okay, so he started with a bogey. So, okay.
Yeah, now Rory is too, so I don't feel as bad.
Yeah, well, it's a tough starting hole. They got a lot of golf left, Tom.
Oh, I know it, Gary. But, you know, you go into these majors and you got high hope for the kids from Alabama, and then it don't go good.
Okay. Well, again, I'm not gonna pass judgment after one hole.
I'm not either, Gary, but I was just hoping for a better start.
No, I was too. But I mean, you know, Rory made bogey as well. So, you know,
hole. I tell you what, you're right about this. Over there, the first day can be a world away from day four.
That's right. So all right, James. Thank you. All right, 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show. A reminder, the $99 suit sale continues at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. It's just that simple. Go by and see Tom. Get hooked up with a $99 suit. And these aren't just any suits. Now, these are nice suits, and he'll help you custom fit it and get the one that you want. Also, check out that Alabama football memorabilia collection while you're there. Everything in the store is for sale. All right, we'll be back with Marcel Darius, former Alabama great defensive lineman, 9-year NFL player, former All-Pro, and we'll talk some football with Marcel next here on the Gary Harris Show.
At the Home Depot, offer valid July 17th through August 3rd, 2025. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
All right, 9:33. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And Chase has not been able to get in touch with Marcel Darius, and hopefully we will. We'll keep trying because we'd like to talk with him, but not been able to get him on the phone this morning. And but we were prepared because I know sometimes when I've dealt with some of these NFL guys, it's not always as easy to get them on the phone as you would think, even when you expect them to be there. So what we're going to do right now is we are going to play some great audio from yesterday, SEC Media Days. Deontay Lawson, to be honest, Chase and listeners, I think he felt like this time a year ago that last season would be his last at Alabama and he would be getting ready for his rookie NFL season. But the Oklahoma game, that ACL injury, unfortunately happened. But it's, you know, it's worked out well for Alabama because he's come back for another season. He's going to be 100% healthy, and I think he's going to have a phenomenal year for Alabama. I think he could have an All-American type campaign. He's got that kind of talent. He has now got the maturity, and he knows that coming off the ACL that he wants to play well also for his future possibilities in the National Football League. So I think you're going to see the best of Deontay Lawson, and that's going to be great for Alabama and bad for Crimson Tide opponents. So here is Deontay Lawson on Wednesday being interviewed at SEC Football Media Days in Atlanta.
We have Deontay here, and he is ready for your questions. We will start on the left side on the third row.
Good morning, Deontay.
Good morning.
AP Stedham, AP as we see it. Deontay, what would you like to see different from the defense this year? You know, to help the team win, what would you like to see different?
I think we just all have to be bought in. I think that started right when the bowl game ended, and you know, we just all had to come together. I think being year one and Coach Wolf's system, you know, we had our bumps and bruises that we had to go through throughout the season, and you know, we just had to get more reps. I think as the season progressed, we were able to, you know, get better from it. And, you know, I'm very excited for our defense this year. And, you know, I feel like we have more guys that knows Coach Wolf's system. And, you know, we know the rep. I mean, we know the scheme. Now it's all about honing in on what the offense do, so we're able to anticipate at the highest level and, you know, fly around.
Right side, fourth row.
Deontay, Johnny Condon, ABC 3340 Sports in Birmingham. Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos, transfer from Boston College, has some choice words this offseason, some bulletin board material talking about how he don't think that your defense can stop him, and said that they're not the same without Nick Saban, to a leader of that defense, to hear those comments. What's your reaction?
Obviously, people gonna say what makes them feel the most confident. But it's something, you know, we can't really worry about, because nothing matters other than what goes on inside those lines. And, you know, we'll see when the game gets here, and, you know, we'll prepare and make sure we're ready for August 30th. And, you know, we'll see when you get here.
Middle, fourth row, and then pass it to your left.
Deontay, Jared Bates here, Mobile, Alabama, WNSP. Good to see a hometown kid here at SEC Media Days. But, Deontay, in the SEC, so many great places to play. Y'all were undefeated at home last year. But is there a road stadium that has stuck out in your time in the conference?
Man, to be honest with you, I think every road SEC game is tough. Because I look, I think I played pretty much everywhere in the SEC. I'll go to Georgia this year. But, even when we play Arkansas or Tennessee or Auburn, any road game, especially, you know, being Alabama, you know, the fans are into it just a little bit more. And, you know, it's something we look forward to. We're all about a challenge, and we love coming in the away team stadium and, you know, trying to clear it out.
Stay on the fourth row and then pass it forward.
Hey, Deontay, Nick over in Mobile with WNSP. Coach DeBoer's talked a lot about how you are a leader and you're a mentor to everyone in that locker room. I'm curious, back in your hometown in Mobile, who are some of the leaders, coaches, and mentors who helped you get to the place you're at today and turn you into the man you are?
That's a great question. First, I think, you know, my parents, of course. You know, they always been my support system. They always been in my corner no matter what. And, you know, I definitely think they raised me the right way. You know, I had a high school coach, Ronnie Cottrell. That's, man, he did a lot for me as well. And, you know, it's a lot of people, you know, that helped me get to where I am today. And, you know, I definitely had a lot of people to look at, and ways of don't do that or do that. And so I think that kind of molded me as well. But, you know, I think it just comes back to my parents, man. They really, you know, instilled something in me at an early age, and, you know, I was just able to, you know, take it and run with it.
Fifth row on the right side, then pass it forward.
Trevor Denton with Way 31. Deontay, when you got hurt in that Oklahoma game, many people thought that was it for your college career. Why'd you decide to return to Tuscaloosa, and how difficult or not difficult of a decision was that for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a very hard decision. You know, I think any college athlete, any college football player, you know, we all have dreams and aspirations of playing at the next level. And, you know, I feel like I had that opportunity. But, you know, I had to look past that a little bit. You know, it was still some things that I needed to work on. Being a leader more of a vocal leader, and just, you know, building more relationships off the field. Just, I feel like this would be a good year to, you know, kind of set me up for life after football. Obviously, I have dreams and aspirations of playing at the next level. But, you know, I think the injury kind of made me realize that it could be taken away from you at any point. And, you know, it kind of made me just want to dig deeper in, you know, life after football, or, you know, some goals after football and getting some relationships settled. And, you know, yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. You know, it definitely was a tough decision, though.
We'll go on the first row, then pass it over when you're done, please.
Deontay, you were just sort of talking about it, but your rehab, I mean, what did you go through? Obviously, it's a physical journey, but it's a mental journey as well to get back to where you are now. Can you kind of describe that for us and what journey you went through?
Yeah. It was definitely a journey. I'm happy that I'm on the back end of it now, but, you know, obviously it was some... You know, I couldn't do by myself. You know, I have full faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you know, he's just been showing me different ways of how he's been with me, and you know, it's just amazing to see, and you know, just having, like I said, my family. You know, they just them being my support system, them driving down to Tuscaloosa whenever they need to, just small things like that. It just makes it a little bit easier. Obviously, it's rough. Every day is not going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your days where you don't feel like doing it, but you know, this is what I got to do. And you know, another thing would be the medical team at Alabama. Jeremy Giselle, he's my guy, to be honest. I've been with him for the past 8 months, and you know, every day, and we've been getting after it. And you know, he just, when you have people around you, it just makes it a little bit easier. It's still something you gotta handle and get through, but you know, it's all for a greater good.
Excuse me, could you pass the microphone to the gentleman in the third row? Thank you.
Hey, Deontay, Tony Reese, WTV, I'm out of Columbus. Man, I want to, as a defensive leader, get you to talk about the progression you've seen firsthand of Yanze Pierre and Red Morgan, those type of guys.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Yanze, I'll start with Yanze. He's growing into that edge rusher that you want. And, you know, he gaining weight. I think he's about 250 now or something like that, but he's just working hard every day. I think he's establishing himself a role, and you know, that's always good, because once you find that role, you just attack it full steam and you're ready to go. And then Red Morgan, man, yeah, moved the corner. Definitely got some learning still to do, but giving it everything he got every day, and you know, coming to work every day, and you know, trying to learn as much as he can. Red's a freak athlete, so he has all the tools to be a great player. Is now just developing into, you know, more of a, you know, scheme type of player, and you know, doing what's best for the team. And you know, he's attacking that full head on, and you know, I'm excited for both of them and their future.
We have time for one more. We're going the back on the end.
Dan Peck, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. A lot was new for Coach DeBoer last year. Have you noticed any change or growth or development in him in his second year as your head coach?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, last year, it's hard to replace Coach Saban, you know. And, you know, just for him to come in and, you know, just to take the job, you know, that shows – the confidence that he has in himself, and you know, that, man, that's just great. And you know, like you said, he's definitely developed. You know, it's just hard for him to try to, you know, imply you know, his way of doing things or his standard to us so early on year one. But now year two, I mean, it's, we're all for DeBoer, and you know, we're all into what he has to say or what he wants to do for the program. And I think, you know, that's, he definitely feels that, and you know, the players feel that as well. And you know, we're excited and we're ready.
Deontay, thank you very much. Wish we had more time for you.
Thank you. Roll Tide.
All right, great stuff there from Deontay Lawson, and we are going to get to our break, and tried to reach Marcel Darius. No luck. We will try him again around 10 o'clock. If not, we will move on with the show. Phone calls are welcome, in fact. So since we've kind of gotten off schedule a little bit, 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline. So we'd love to hear from you. Let's crank up the football talk. Let's just do that. Marcel Darius or not. It's You know, it's a situation where football is right around the corner. SEC Media Days are wrapping up. So what are your thoughts on the Crimson Tide? Do you think that Alabama is a national championship contender? All those things we can kind of start throwing out there. Fall camp is 2 weeks away. There's football. And listen, Chase, did you notice this morning? It felt good outside. You noticed it too.
Oh, my gosh. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, the humidity. I walked out on my balcony about 7:30. You know, it was a little bit over some clouds and some breeze. And I was like, whoa, this is welcomed. This is not the typical July weather. I'm going to enjoy it while I've got it. It was nice outside. But, yeah, let's get some phone calls going at 205-342-9904. We'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right after I tell you about the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. 2313 Street downtown. They've got the facilities. They've got the staff and the trainers to help you reach your fitness goals. Get by and see them. They'll show you around the beautiful facility. That's the downtown Y, 2313 Street. I've been a member for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join me. All right, we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right after this. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events, rehearsal dinners, receptions, and birthdays. They offer brunch and lunch catering. Call Brick and Spoon at 205-345-5551 for more information. Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure 5-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made in the quality of legal services to be performed. It's greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
Leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another hot, humid day today. Partially sunny, a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 74. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. A few scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
.950. Welcome back into The Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. SEC Media Day is wrapping up today in Atlanta, and obviously I'm not there, but I did have four people from WVUA 23 over there. We've had great coverage this week. Of course, Ryan Fowler and Wyatt Fulton are over there from Tide 100.9. I have talked to, you know, numerous people that were over there, and it's been a great week from everything I've been able to gather. I mean, terrific facilities with the Omni Hotel at Centennial Park and the College Football Hall of Fame. Of course, obviously, Atlanta was jumping this week with Beyonce concerts, the All-Star Game. Obviously, SEC Media Days. I think they had a WWE event this week. I mean, it's just been, not that Atlanta's not always busy, because it is, but particularly this week, so many events going on. I mean, just unbelievable. So, great for the SEC and the football coaches and players to have an opportunity to be involved in that. I think it's an honor for the players. I really do. I think that it's, you only get to take three. And I think if you're asked by your coach to go represent your school at SEC Media Days, Chase. I think that's something special. And you, and I believe the players still believe it is too. And, you know, when I look at Alabama's contingent of defensive lineman Tim Keenan III, linebacker Deontay Lawson, and offensive lineman Caden Proctor, linebacker Deontay Lawson, I think all those guys handle themselves very well. You heard Lawson's media session already. We're going to play Proctor's for you in the second hour. I think they upheld the Alabama standard. And, you know, even you want good stuff. You do. You want guys to be engaging. I think they were. I know coaches and administrators coach these guys. They don't want bulletin board material. I think Alabama's as good as that, as good at that as anybody. Even when asked about Castellanos, all the players handled that well. The Boston College quarterback who basically said Alabama couldn't stop him and they didn't have Saban to save him this year. But Alabama players, every now and then they might let a little something slip, but it's usually in response to something somebody else says, Chase. They're very good about, and always have been, about understanding. As I've said before, I make this comparison a lot. You know, Alabama in college football is gold standard. I mean, they're like the Yankees. They're like, you know, they're like the Lakers and the Cowboys. I mean, they're that type of brand. And when you are the brand, and I would say in college football, it's Alabama. And I would still, even though they haven't had, this past year they were really good. They had a lot of years where they were down. I still put Notre Dame there. For me, it's Alabama and it's Notre Dame. And I know Ohio State's a great program right now. And Michigan has history. And Penn State and Southern Cal. But, you know, that's like in professional sports. There's a lot of good programs, good organizations, but you can't – everybody can't be the gold standard. And I think Alabama is. All right, we're going to take a phone call right now from Greg over in Birmingham. Hey, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Gary. I hope you're doing well today.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm going to bring up a topic sometimes it gets talked about, sometimes it don't, is where do you – we all know the SEC's got great teams and, you know, play great games and so forth, but what about the officiating? You know, that gets talked about, but has Greg Sankey made any changes the way they – are they going to be more transparent this year than they have been? Or I just wondered, where do you think the officiating lies – in the Southeastern Conference? On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think it's at?
Yeah, since you gave me a scale, I would say it's a good question. Let me think about it because I don't want to just throw a number out there haphazardly, because I do think for the most part they do a good job. And I know I've ranted against them myself here on the show. You probably have heard that. But I think overall, I would say from 1 to 10, I would give them a 7.
I
certainly think they're above average. But I do think there's still room to improve. So I 1 to 10, I'd give SEC officiating a 7, and which means that they do a good job, but I still think need to do better. I mean, I think there still needs to be more consistency. There's going to be mistakes. I get that. I think when fans get upset is when you're sitting in a stadium or a press box or even on television and 100,000 people see something that's just obvious and the officials don't see it, or they get it wrong. I think, you know, there are tough calls, and there's calls that are made where, you know, they're just tough calls. But then there's something when you just see a blown call that's, you know, that helps change the game, that it's hard to deal with that as a fan. Having said that, Greg, it's always going to happen. You know, there's going to be missed calls. There's always been missed calls. You know, it's just there was a time back before we had, you know, all the replays and all of the corrections and all those type of things that when an official blew a call, we moved on quicker because you knew there was nothing that could be done about it. You know what I mean? Maybe that was good back in the way, days before. Yeah. You know, when officials blew a call, you might be upset about it, but you moved on because there's nothing you could do about it. Now you feel like, well, heck, man, it can be fixed. We need to get it fixed. So so I don't know if all the technology and everything is, in some ways, it's probably not good in that it sticks with us. And then, of course, every angle from a camera, we see it over and over and over. And we do have to remember, and you know this, I can tell you're pretty even keeled. In fairness to the officials, man, it's split second. They got one time to either make the call or not make the call. And if they miss it, you know, they don't have the benefit of going back and being able to replay it. You know what I mean?
Right. Hey, the question one thing I wanted is to have more transparency. On the Monday after, when we've had a bad call, you can't ever get an answer from the SEC.
No, I agree with you. I'm a proponent of that. I've said that on the show. I don't know why in the world, you know, we make coaches available. We make players available. After, you know, why can't the lead official, the head of the crew, after every game, it doesn't have to be an entire press conference, but why isn't there, you're right, and every now and then they will put out a quote or something, but why can't an official be asked questions or at least put out a statement based on how they felt they did in that game? Or if they are graded, which they are, why can't those grades be released? I'm with you there, Greg. I see what you're saying about transparency. I think there's nothing wrong with holding officials accountable. And I think something else that probably bugs you, because it bugs me, is do these guys ever lose their jobs? I mean, I mean, you know, in the real world, if you're not up to par, if you're not good at what you do, you know, there's a chance that you're not going to be retained. I get the feeling once you become an SEC official, unless you just decide you're done with it, no matter how many calls you blow, no matter how poorly you grade out, they all seem to be back the next year, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. Well, have a great day. Roll Tide.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. I wind up getting going a little bit there, but I agree with him. I think there needs to be something done. And again, and I want to protect the officials. I understand it. There's a fine line there between, you know, they already catch so much flack, but explaining yourself after a game doesn't seem like a bad thing to me. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the first hour of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member owned and not for profit. It's just a better way of banking. All right, we're going to try Marcel Darius again. Going to probably give it about 10-15 and try him, because I know he could be sleeping in. Listen, we're not sleeping in, but other people do that have the opportunity to do that. So we'll try them again. Also, we got Jess Beagle coming up at 10:30, and I may try to go ahead and get somebody on from SEC Media Days here to open up the second hour, just so we can get a recap and scene setter on this final day. All right, that's hour number one. Hour number two is on the way.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
The first round of the Open Championship, golf's fourth major, is underway. Round one from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Par 71. Some of the leaders early on include Jacob Skov Olesen, who shot 67. So did Hao Tong Lee. Nicholas Højgaard shot a 69. Phil Mickelson shot 70. That is one under par. Jordan Smith with a 71. Cameron Smith with a 72. Jason Day, Justin Johnson, and Julian Goyer all with 73. In the NFL, Alfred Collins signed a four-year rookie contract with $9 million guaranteed. 29 of 32 second-round picks remain unsigned. In the WNBA...
Remember M for money and Mesreno.
If it has a logo on it, call me. 205-800-8000.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, July 17th, 2025. This hour is being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. In Alabama, community means everything. And at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. If you're injured and you give us a call, you're not going to get a call center. You're not going to talk to an operator. You'll talk to real attorneys right here at home. Paul Patterson and North Patterson, they were born here. They were raised here, went to law school here. And they live here and practice here now. I think that's important. Feet on the ground in West Alabama. Call if you have any legal questions at 205-345-1000 or check out their great website, PattersonLawPC.com. That's PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, as I often say, sometimes you got to pivot when you do a two-hour radio show, and I think I'm pretty good at that. We're going to try Marcel one more time after this segment, and if we can't get him, we'll try to reschedule him. As I said, and I'm not making light of this. I've dealt with a lot of these guys. Sometimes it sounds good to them to say they're going to do a radio show at 9:30 in the morning. And then when it's 9:30 in the morning on that morning, it doesn't sound as good to them. So we were not able to get in touch with him, but we'll get him on. I know we're going to get him on. But right now, we're going to have someone step in. And Stu McCann's going to pinch hit for a former NFL first team All-Pro. How about that? WVUA 23, Stu McCann has been in Atlanta since Sunday, leading our WVUA 23 coverage. If you watch me on the sports this week, you know we've had outstanding coverage. We've had live shots. We've had news coverage. We've had sports coverage. And now our crew is wrapping it up. Stu, along with Jeff Edstrom from Digital, JD Zaza, our sports reporter, and Callie Cassidy, our news reporter, as they wrap it up over there at the Omni Hotel and the College Football Hall of Fame. Good morning, Stu. Thanks for jumping on.
No problem, Gary. I'm trying to see if there's a connection with Patterson Law Firm and myself. I don't know if I have a segment sponsor. I don't know if that's actually a good thing to have.
Well, I'll tell you this. Hopefully you won't be in it. Hopefully you won't be in an automobile accident anytime soon. But if you are, Patterson Law Firm will take care of you. I promise you that. That's for sure. I have not been there this week. I was talking earlier with Chase and I were here on the show about not when you're not there, you don't get the full vibe. But I've been to plenty of these. I've been, you know, following our coverage. And I just get the feeling with the setup there with the College Football Hall of Fame, with that Omni Hotel at Centennial Park, and, of course, all Major League All-Star Game, Beyonce concerts, WWE events. The ATL is always happening, but it's been the place to be in the entire country this week. And you've been a part of it. That's got to be pretty exciting.
It's definitely not been dull. Just the opportunity to people watch, just kind of looking around at the mix, the eclectic mix, the media people who are eclectic in themselves, but also then all the fans going to the Beyonce concert. There were two of them, Sunday night when we arrived, as well as Monday, and the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby, and like you said, WWE. So you think about all those different fan bases and groups coming in together, that is quite an experience.
From a football standpoint, this is huge, man. I mean, 16 teams, 4 days, 4 teams a day. Of course, Sunday night you had a media viewing of Nothing But a Winner, the Alabama football movie that Caleb Castile and Bobby Humphrey involved in. They had the premiere last night at the Lyric Theater, red carpet. Rodney Orr was able to go. I wish I could have gone, but, of course, work kept me from doing that. But so there's been plenty to do from a football standpoint, yet – as a reporter, you're looking for tidbits. You're looking for angles. You're looking for some things. And even though I wasn't there, I thought one of the biggest days, of course, was, you know, Alabama Day, but Arch Manning. And watching him from afar, you see, you know, why they're football's first family. I mean, this young man handled himself like a pro. You could tell he's been trained for this his entire life. And when you look at his genes, you know, he's got the athleticism of Archie, who was an incredible runner and ad-libber. Yet we know Peyton and Eli were pocket quarterbacks, but man, you know, they could read defenses like the back of their hand. And his dad, Cooper, was a wide receiver at Ole Miss until he got hurt and had, you know, it just seems like to me that he is the total package. I've heard some other people say, the reason I bring this up, Stu, is I've heard some other people this week say, well, he's got to show me, he's got to prove it. And he said he's got to prove it. But I'll be shocked if he's not a big-time QB. In fact, Stu, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he does win the Heisman Trophy this year with that team that he has and his ability. What did you think of Arch, and what do you think of the type of season that he's going to have?
That's the thing. Like, there are so many signs pointing to, hey, this kid is special. Like, the way he carries himself, being humble, being the genetic with Eli and Peyton and Archie and Cooper, his father. There's just so many things that go towards, like, this should be something. But at the same time, I also know, I think you're correct. But I think a lot of it goes towards the fact that he has been in college football as a backup to Quinn Ewers for 2 years. If he was just somebody who was stepping foot into the game, even if all the signs point to big-time star and one-in-a-lifetime generation talent, it's still something that you have to – there takes a little maturation period to catch up to all the talent, even the humbleness to the background. But the fact he's been in the program and in the system for 2 years, I 100% would agree with you, because he knows. He knows Sark's system. This is not something that they're right now trying to onboard as quick as possible in terms of the playbook and everything, getting him ready for this. It's been something he's been immersed in and watched and saw and had a chance to take part in a little bit last season. That just spells even probably the biggest indication in my mind that he is going to be something special to keep an eye on and watch.
All right, let's get to Alabama, Stu. I'm not going to keep you long, but yesterday was Alabama Day. Nothing else needs to be said. I had several calls yesterday after we played DeBoer's presser. People saying, man, he seems like he's more comfortable. I think he is. I mean, let's be honest. You got to, you know, going on a year and a half on the job now. I think everything should be smoother, but certainly that seems to be the takeaway from Atlanta, that Kalen DeBoer seemed large and in charge. You were there. What did you think of his performance at Media Days yesterday?
I was impressed, and it's funny because earlier to set me up before this started, you referenced Chase Goodbread. I am going to reference Chase Goodbread. He's all over the place. So he was on your show. I spoke with him yesterday in a segment for WVUA 23 Digital. And we were kind of just reminiscing almost, thinking back to last year, Kalen DeBoer's first year at SEC Media Days, walking in, trying to go in as, you know, replacing the legend, Nick Saban. And there is Nick Saban in the back of the room with his the College Game Day crew. And Kalen DeBoer handled it really well, but it just felt like it is Kalen DeBoer's program, but there's Nick Saban. The signs are all there. It's like, hey, Nick Saban, what is he talking with Kalen DeBoer about? This year, I think he's far more comfortable because it's not just he is ready for the challenge, but I think it's his team. I think he's had a chance in an offseason in getting his staff together, getting Ryan Grubb in there. And I know that's just the offensive coordinator, and Nick Sheridan did a good job last season. But, I mean, when Kalen DeBoer came to Alabama, it's not a package deal, but it was very much Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb. It felt like that to me, at least. And now he's got his coaching staff. He's had a chance to bring in players and his team, and I think that is a lot where the comfortable you're picking up on is.
Yeah, I agree. And then the player contingent, it's an honor for these guys, I think, to be selected to go to Media Days and represent their schools with Tim Keenan III, Deontay Lawson, and Caden Proctor. And, you know, you see what Alabama's all about. I mean, I thought they all handled themselves with class. They were tried to, you know, couple of them were tried to, you know, they tried to bait him into the Thomas Castellanos stuff. And it's obvious, man, that Alabama, you know, like the Yankees, like the Cowboys, the Lakers, the Gold Standard, they understand what playing football at Alabama is all about. And, you know, people try to get you to take the bait. Very rarely do these guys go for it, though. They seem to always be able to take the high road. I was hoping maybe to get a little more juice from these guys, but they just don't give you much in terms of controversy, do they?
No, they don't. And one takeaway I had, and this is not to any sort of slight whatsoever, but I just hadn't had as much experience speaking and having a chance to talk with Caden Proctor. I think it goes to, because in the offensive line the past couple of years, you had such great representatives from the team that they made and put out there, like Tyler Booker and Parker Brailsford. We had heard from Caden Proctor a couple times, but getting a chance to actually hear him and talk with him about the questions and everything, he came across as, I knew he was sharp, but he's a very in a very comfortable position going into this season, going into his third year, and remembering and knowing and seeing the progress and the maturation from when he was starting as a true freshman two seasons ago to leaving in the transfer portal, to coming back, to playing at that level and ready to take another step, I feel, this year. That's really cool. I enjoyed that.
I want to ask you about Hugh Freeze because, you know, he's been a lightning rod of criticism this summer from, you know, all the golf that he's played to the lack of recruiting success. But I thought I'll give him credit. I thought he had a strong message Tuesday. I think Auburn fans are tired of hearing we don't have the roster. They're tired of hearing, you know, the woe is me. And he didn't take that approach. I mean, he just came out and said it. I expect us to be good. We're bigger, we're stronger, we're faster. I expect us to be in the playoff conversation. Now, he's got to go out and do it. But I like that strategy. With what's happened to him this summer, you know, he didn't. And he said it for the record, too, which I agree with. Just because you play golf doesn't mean you're not doing your job. But he came out and made a strong statement that, you know, the time for, you know, making excuses is over. We expect to have a really good team. Did you like the way he went about it? I did. What did you see from Hugh Freeze?
No, I liked it. I think I totally 100% agree with you. There was a sense of ownership. There was not a passing the buck or talking about the reason, like you said. They're not talking about the reason it hasn't worked so far. They're taking ownership over what has been and what they expect and what they are really saying this year. They talked about kind of injury luck, and I don't know if injury luck is even a thing. But I think that Hugh Freeze and everybody, they knew the questions they were going to get. They knew the whole entire situation being 5-17 the past two seasons in SEC play. And they were comfortable with those questions. There was no point where they were going to sit back and kind of try to deflect whatever that is. They know it's a fact. And they also, I think, are comfortable with the team that they've got. And bringing in a transfer quarterback like Jackson Arnold, I think that there is a sense that we are going to be able to surprise some people what weren't able to do the past 2 years.
All right, Stu. The media, too, is a big part of the story. You guys interview each other. You get opinions. Of course, I know we went over there with our staff, and you've seen Ryan Fowler and Wyatt Fulton running around over there for Tide 100.9 FM. What's the media buzz? Anything that you picked up on, you know, as far as, of course, we're going to have the preseason rankings, but anything that you picked up from the media people that are stories of that caught your attention or things to watch for the upcoming season?
I don't know where I've been camped out most of the week was the electronic media room, because that's where a little peek behind the curtain. We set up a record box and then we roll on everything going on in the main media room. But those two places, the electronic media room and the main media room, is a good, probably about a little less than a quarter mile, 0.2 miles or so. It's kind of a stretch. So I have not been immersed as much, I have to admit, in what's going on in that main media room where that's the big part. And then the digital drive, the radio row, I can't really comment too much on. But I know the interactions I've had when I've been speaking with the media and things like that. I think every team has a reason for a little bit of optimism. It's almost like recruiting, where you can kind of take a look at the guys you got coming in, and fan bases can have a little bit of optimism and intrigue going into the season, just like the talented guys they have. When everything gets going, when practice starts and the games, then we get to really kind of know the truth. But there's a sense. There's a sense that everybody, every team, every fan – can kind of latch on to something and say, like, hey, I'm excited to see what this is going to look like. And I think that's good. I think that having that positivity and a little optimism.
All right, man. Great stuff. We'll look forward to one more day of coverage on WVUA 23 tonight on our news. And I know y'all are looking forward to getting back home. It's been a fun week, but I'm sure it's been hectic and stressful, and all the folks are ready to get back here to Tuscaloosa. Thanks, Stu.
No problem. Thanks, Jerry.
All right, it's 10:18 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we are going to take time out. We appreciate Stu jumping on with us there and giving us kind of the lay of the land. We still got Jeff Spiegel coming up at 10:30. When we come back, a great night last night in Birmingham. The world premiere of Nothing But a Winner, that terrific movie. We had Caleb Castile on last week to talk about it. They had a red carpet premiere last week. A lot of great Alabama football dignitaries were there. And something special. This movie's going to be something special. I'll discuss that a little bit as well on the other side of this break. Stay with us. The Gary Harris Show will continue.
Now, this hour is West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Mayor Maddox and other city officials cut the ribbon this morning to open the new fire station number 6 on Hargrove Road. The controversial University Beach Resort Project in West Northport has announced partnership with the upscale Marriott Autograph Collection Hotel. Tuscaloosa is one of more than 1,600 sites nationwide where Good Trouble Lives On National Day of Action events will take place today. They will protest President Trump's policies in the name of Alabama native and Georgia Congressman John Lewis. West Alabama Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell was a close friend of Lewis.
John would have a lot to say about what's going on these days.
Organizers have urged protesters to remain peaceful. We're expanding our showroom to serve you better at Tuscaloosa Mazda. Come see our new or pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency.
7.9 WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing. Online at BeDryAlabama.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside.
451,000 Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made that quality of legal services to be performed is greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
Toes. I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland, between Edgar's and local routes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another hot, humid day today. Partially sunny, a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 74. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. A few scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:23 here on the Gary Harris Show. And let's get to Caden Proctor, Alabama left tackle. He'll be a junior. Time flies. He just got here. You know, he got here as a highly touted recruit, had flipped from Iowa to Alabama. His commitment, signed with the Crimson Tide, played a year here, transferred to Iowa, decided he made a mistake, came back to Alabama, but he's primed this year, I think, to have a huge season at left tackle for the Crimson Tide, and going to be an NFL player. And he was one of the Alabama representatives at SEC Media Days, and we've got his press session for you right now.
Okay, we have Caden. He is ready for your questions. Who would like to start off? We'll go in the middle here, the back row.
Hey,
Hey, Caden, Michael Brauner, WNSP in Mobile. You were quoted earlier today talking about the quarterback battle, saying you guys really don't know who the quarterback is going to be. I was wondering if you could talk about all three guys and, you know, the development you've seen from Keelon specifically since he's gotten to campus.
So starting off with Ty, I mean, he's been there for, you know, four years now. He knows what to do. You know, he's doing his to his best abilities to succeed, and just having that experience. I know he hasn't been a starting quarterback, but he knows what he's doing. And Austin Mack, he's been at that same type of level too. Like, he knows what he's doing. Tall guy, lengthy. I mean, something that I want to point out is they all can run. They can scoop. The arm talent is crazy from all three of them, and I'm just proud of Keelon for coming in as a freshman. You know, it's not hard, especially, you know, being an SEC at quarterback, but they're all three doing their job, so I'm proud of all of them.
Middle, second row.
Hey, Caden. I'm curious, when you have a group of very, like, highly touted offensive linemen that come in from this freshman class, like, what's your first message to them and be like, okay, this is how the SEC is different?
So my first message to them is that I've been through some hard things, and I never want them to go through what I had to go through my freshman year, you know, after giving up however many sacks that I did. So I just want to show them that I love them, I care for them. If they want to come talk to me, you know, if they want to go watch film, they can call me up, and I just want to be that role model for them. So, yeah.
Right side, third row.
Hey, Caden. Johnny Condon, ABC 3340 Sports in Birmingham. Ryan Williams kind of flashed last year as a freshman, became kind of a superstar throughout the country. I'm interested to see what he's like behind the scenes with teammates and just how he's handled that level of fame and success after 1 year.
Behind the scenes, he is a funny guy. Like, if y'all ever get to talk to him, he's a funny, goofy guy. Obviously, you've seen the TikTok dances. He's not afraid of who he is, and I love that for him. And he's had great success his first year, and I know year two is going to be even better for him. Sir,
we'll go in the middle, fourth row.
Caden, Tyler Shaw with KBTX and College Station. Wanted to ask about one of your new teammates, Cam Dewberry, on that offensive line. Just kind of what is he like as a teammate, and kind of what does he add to that group?
What he brings to this group is intensity. I mean, he's had those years where he started, you know, he's been playing since early freshman year. So he's been through those tough environments. He knows what's going on. And I mean, he's older than me, so he has a little bit more experience than me. So some things that I don't know, he could teach me. And I love that, you know, we have those elder guys. We always have a mix of young guys too that he can teach and that I can teach. And we kind of feed off of each other for sure from the past experiences that we've had.
Right side, then pass it forward, please.
Caden, Coach DeBoer mentioned kind of a rotation that y'all have of six offensive linemen right now. Just how have you seen that group come along throughout the spring and the summer?
I would say every single offensive lineman, just going from the whatever top six to all 20 of them, even the walk-ons, we're working our tails off in the weight room, in the meeting room. Like, there's especially, I just want to highlight the freshmen that have came in. All of them came in ready to go, ready to work. I would say even better than me when I came in as a freshman. They just have that level of intensity to them, and I know they want to work. But, you know, the top six, I mean, whoever those five are that are, you know, come August 30th, I'm going to be proud of each one of them. And I know that the coaches are going to make the best decision moving forward. So,
second, bro.
Alex Byington on three. A lot has been made of Thomas Castellano's comments this offseason. First off, what was the reaction within the locker room when the FSU quarterback is saying what he's saying? And then what does it say about the standard of that team, Alabama, that you have an opposing quarterback speaking like that?
We really don't really focus on that too much. I mean, it's all going to come down to the preparation. We're going to see on August 30th who the winner is, but that's not the focus right now. We haven't even made it to fall camp yet. We still have a couple weeks of summer workouts left. So that's been the intent and focus right now from our group, and we're not really giving in to whatever anybody else is saying. It's all internal, keeping it in-house, man.
Left side, fourth row, then pass it over, please.
Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7. Caden, y'all's game against Georgia last year, back and forth, a wild one. What immediately comes to mind when you think back to that game and just how it played out?
I feel like everybody did their job to the best of their abilities and ultimately came out with the dub. But not just that Georgia game. We've had those games. I mean, the SEC is tough, man. That's just how those games go. And keeping a team down like that, I know we got up 28-0, but it's hard keeping a team down like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great team, and it's always an exciting win when we play them.
Left side, back row.
Dan Peck, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. A lot was new for Coach DeBoer last year. Have you noticed any growth or development in his second season as your head coach?
I would just say that he's more comfortable. It's hard coming to the SEC as a first-year head coach. I mean, that's stressful for sure. And I don't want anybody to hate on my coach or anything like that. So I'm doing everything to my best ability to provide, you know, for him to have the best success, you know what I'm saying? So but I would say the comfortability. We're relationship based, and that's just what it's been throughout this past year.
Yeah. Fourth row in the middle, then pass it to your right.
Hey, Cade, Nick Wiggins over in Mobile, Alabama. You've been in the SEC a minute. They say it just means more. I'm curious if you have an interesting story on what was your welcome to the SEC moment where you thought, man, it really is different here.
I would say just freshman year, we obviously seen the stats that I gave up and how many sacks. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself right there, is how hard it was. But one specific play was Middle Tennessee, my first ever game. I'm taking an outside zone track to the right. And before I had even got my right foot in the ground, I had a linebacker run through my chest. He wasn't even worrying about the play. He was just trying to run through me. So that's how I knew. It was like, yep, that's welcome to college football right there. And that's from that day on, man, I think about it. I just got to laugh it off, honestly. Yeah.
Well-spoken young man, Caden Proctor. We're going to cut him a little bit short so we can get to our break on time. When we come back, Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340. Going to ask him about that big premiere last night of the great movie that is out on Alabama Football, Nothing But a Winner. And had a red carpet premiere at the Lyric Theater, attended by numerous dignitaries. I wish I could have gone, but work kept me from going. And as I said before, Chase, I blew my chance to be in that movie. They wanted to interview me, and I missed the email. And we, anyway, disappointed. Rodney Orr's in it, though, a lot. So we'll come back with Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340 right here on The Gary Harris Show.
Just download the free Upside app and use promo code QUICK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code QUICK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and it's Spiegs time. Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340 sports anchor, joining us for his weekly segment. What's going on, Jeff?
Gary, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Thanks for jumping on. Before we get to SEC Media Days, big night in Birmingham last night at the Lyric Theater. I was already explaining on my show this week how I missed my chance to be in the movie. They wanted to interview me after they came in to shoot some video of Tider Insider TV, and they were able to interview Rodney Orr. I missed the email, and when I saw it, I tried to get back up with him, and we never could. Story of my life, isn't it? I could have been. Well, I don't know if I'd have made the cut, but they did want to interview me about Alabama football, and I missed out. But great night. I know you were busy working like me, but red carpet premiere, a lot of Alabama football dignitaries. Big night for a big film.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I mean, if you're an Alabama football fan, I think it's a must-see because it chronicles just the way the program was built. And it centers on, you know, the two most legendary coaches who have coached there, and that's Paul Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. Of course, you know, there have been, you know, a lot of other good coaches there too, Wallace Wade, you know, for example, Frank Thomas. But it focuses, you know, more, I think, on the Bryant and the Saban years. And, you know, there were some fantastic, you know, former players on the red carpet last night. Gosh, I can't name them all, but Bobby Humphrey, Marlon Humphrey, Jeremiah Castile, Terry Jones was there, Kermit Kendrick was there, and just so many, so many guys, you know, from that era telling some good stories, you know, about the impact that those two coaches had on their lives.
Of course, Kalen DeBoer, I think, even though he wouldn't say it, probably hopes one day that they want to make a documentary or a movie or a look back at his career. It needs to start happening this year. Everything we've seen in the offseason, Jeff, is Alabama's won the offseason, man. It's been smooth. They retained their roster, had a good spring. They're killing it in recruiting. Ryan Grubb comes back. Everything seems primed for a big year. But now you got to go out on the field and do it. But watching them at media days, the players, Coach DeBoer, everybody seemed comfortable and confident without coming across as arrogant. Everything that I'm seeing here in Tuscaloosa, it seems like that came to fruition at media days with a program that right now feels confident and primed to have a really big season.
Well, I think you nailed it. I think they have every reason to be confident. They have no reasons to be arrogant.
Right.
I mean, last year was pretty humbling. You know, they finished 9-4. The four losses they had, you know, were away from home, and they were ugly. I mean, let's just be brutally honest about it. So there were a lot of things that went wrong, but Kalen DeBoer wanted to emphasize there were a lot of things that went right. And had that not been the case, they wouldn't have been able to retain, you know, the roster that they've got right now. They would not have been able to go out and recruit the guys for the 2026 class they've been able to do. So there are a lot of things going on right in the program, and I think the most right thing that they did in the offseason was getting Ryan Grubb, you know, to be the offensive coordinator. And I think there's going to be a lot of magic happening on that side of the football and on the defensive side of the ball. I think this is a defense that I'm not going to say they're going to be the greatest defense in the history of Alabama football, but I'm saying they're going to be able to go out and play smash-mouth ball, and I think the secondary is going to be good. I think, you know, the D-line and linebackers, Keenan and Lawson coming back and leading that bunch. I mean, I think there are a lot of revenge games, Gary, if you will, on schedule, including Vanderbilt. I mean, I never dreamed that I'd be saying Vanderbilt would be a revenge game. But there's a lot of business that they have to take care of, starting with August 30th against Florida State, because the quarterback over there has been talking some trash. And you know this, Keenan and Lawson addressed this, you know, yesterday, that, what was the phrase? Disrespect, you know, will be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't wait to see that one in Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's going to be a good way to get it kicked off. I want to ask you about Auburn because, and I've already kind of covered this a little bit this morning, but I want to get your take on it. Auburn has not won the offseason. And, of course, their bad fortune continued last night with the arrest of Malcolm Simmons, their outstanding sophomore wide receiver from Alex City on domestic assault charges. So that's, you know, kind of a cloud right now, but it's not going well. Everything from Hugh Freeze playing golf, although I thought he did a good job of addressing that, to poor recruiting, to DJ Barber being dismissed. Now you got this incident with Malcolm Simmons, but I did like the approach by Hugh Freeze. Auburn fans are tired of hearing it now. I mean, this is your third year. They don't want to hear how you don't have the roster. They don't want to hear how you can't compete talent-wise with these other teams. I think he, giving credit for reading the tea leaves, he came out very aggressive. I like my team. We've got a good roster. We're bigger, stronger, faster. We don't only expect to compete in the SEC. We expect to compete for a college football playoff berth. I think that's the only way that he could go. And I think it's smart, because if you don't have a good year, who cares what you said in the summer? But at least get your fans on board, Jeff. That's the way I took it. What did you see from Freeze, and did you like the approach?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think he does have a good roster. I think he's got a roster that can win 8 games. And if the ball bounces their way, I mean, they may win 10 games. I mean, if they get some momentum and Georgia comes into town, you know, for a night game, and I think I've said this on the air before, if they're playing well and they've got it rolling by the time Georgia comes in, I mean, they could knock off the Bulldogs at home. It's going to be a night game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and no matter how bad they played at home last year, I mean, Jordan-Hare, when it's full and it's rocking and it's nighttime, that can be a really tough place to play. But they've got electric players on both sides of the ball. I mean, they've got, even if you take out Malcolm Simmons, even if Malcolm Simmons is dismissed today from the football team, They've got a wide receiver room that can compete with any wide receiver room in college football. I mean, they're that good. They've got good running backs. They've got good guys on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think anybody was able to block Keldrick Falk last year. So they've got the guys, but they've just got to be able to stop shooting themselves in the foot in these games. And as we mentioned before, the quarterback coach dynamic has just got to be better. It's got to run smoother. And it sounds like, you know, Freeze has been working on that part of the game from his aspect. But it's Jackson Arnold. Listen, this is all on Jackson Arnold. If Jackson Arnold plays well, Hugh Freeze has a job next year. If Jackson Arnold is terrible, Hugh Freeze doesn't have a job next year. It's as simple as that.
Arch Manning, another big story at SEC Media Days, and I've covered this too, but again, I want to see how you feel about him. I've listened to some other stuff this weekend from people saying, no, he's going to have to prove it to me. You know, playing against two bad teams, he struggled when he was in the game against Georgia. Buddy, I just don't see any way in the world this guy's not going to light it up. I mean, you look at the bloodlines. They are football's first family for a reason. He got the athleticism of his grandfather, Archie, and his dad, Cooper, who was a wide receiver. He's got the knowledge and his two uncles, Eli and Peyton. Neither one are great athletes, but they were great quarterbacks. He's had time to be groomed. He's mature. He's ready. I think he will be a Heisman Trophy candidate, but not everybody agrees with me. How do you see this first season playing out for Arch Manning with Texas?
Well, I don't know if he'll be a Heisman candidate this year, but I want to see how he handles that starting role. But look, I mean, you're right. I mean, he's got the bloodlines. He showed in spot duty last year that he's got the ability to make plays, that he can think on his feet. He's obviously got, you know, the leadership thing down pat. I think the players respect him. I think they've respected the fact that this guy, although he had a big enough name where he could have gone anywhere in America and probably started as a freshman, you know, he wanted to come in and he didn't mind learning, you know, for 2 years behind Quinn Ewers and kind of waiting his term. And I think the football team respected him for that. And I think they're all in on Arch. And I think Arch is ready to just, take the steer by the horns, I guess you could say, and lead this football team. And they're going to look, there's going to be a lot of pressure there. I mean, they're going to be preseason number one in America. And they start out with Ohio State right off the bat. So he's in the pressure cooker from the get-go. But I agree with you. I think he's a guy that can handle it.
Jess Beagle with us, ABC 3340. Going into the season, who do you think is the best team?
Best team in the country?
In the SEC.
Oh, in the SEC. I think it's Texas. I think it's Texas. I mean, I think they're just, I think they're so loaded, you know, in all areas. I know their running game kind of disappeared in big games last year, but I think they've got the team. I think they've got the coach. You know, I think they're on the brink. They've been on the brink the last couple of years, and I think this is the year they kind of go over the top and get the deal done.
Who is a team that's flying under the radar that you think could make the playoff that maybe we don't look at as a playoff team right now in the SEC? Is there one?
Well, I mean, I kind of like South Carolina. I mean, I really do. The big thing with them is, can they follow up success with another successful year? You know, that's something that Drinkwitz was able to do at Missouri last year. He's won, 21 games in the last 2 years? And then let's see if Beamer can do it. I think he's got the quarterback. I think he's got, you know, Dylan Stewart, a guy who just can disrupt things, you know, on the defense. I think, you know, that they had a taste of that last year. And I think they want to prove this year that, you know, they're not a one-trick pony, you know, that they can do it. And I think Beamer is a guy who's going to be around for several years to come in this league. And so I don't know if that defines flying under the radar, but I think they're a team that maybe not many people are picking to make the playoff, but I think they could.
And an SEC team that maybe won't live up to expectations, a team that you think has a little more hype than substance.
Well, I mean, I'm looking in some preseason publications, and I see Oklahoma being ranked a little higher than maybe they should be. I'm not totally buying into, you know, to Venables right now. I was very impressed with Mateer, you know, at Media Days. But I'm not exactly sold on them, and I've never really been sold on Brian Kelly. I know they're way up there in the rankings, but I think that's also a team that's got the potential of underachiever being written all over it.
And lastly, they're moving it around. I don't think we've got an announcement for Media Days next year yet, do we, Jeff? As far as the location.
I don't think we do either. That may be something that Greg announces today later. But no, I haven't heard a location for next year.
It seems to me, again, and I'm not there, but you know, we both have staff over there. That Atlanta, you know, it's kind of like Nashville's become a perfect fit for the SEC basketball tournament. Obviously, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the conference championship game, and I know Birmingham is near and dear to our heart, but boy, between that hotel and the College Football Hall of Fame right there and all the amenities, of course this week was unbelievable with the All-Star game, Beyonce, WWE, but Atlanta seems like it put on a heck of a show for SEC Media Days, Jeff.
Yeah, it was really cool, and I covered it several years ago when it was there, and it was a great experience. It's pretty spread out, so from a photographer's standpoint, you know, you're trying to get B-roll of all these coaches and everything. I mean, that can be difficult. But Atlanta's, you know, a happening city. That's where all the cool kids, you know, are moving to, including our own sports photographer, Chris McCulley. He's taking a job over there.
No. So, yeah, you're breaking some news? McCulley's leaving?
Breaking news, yeah. And I know. So, yeah, but, I mean, it's a great place. But I think they're going to move it around the footprint. But Atlanta was certainly a great location this year.
Man, I'm not as disappointed as you are, but, man, I hate to see McCulley go. He's going to a TV station in Atlanta?
He is, yeah. He absolutely is. And we wish him all the best.
Yeah, he does a fantastic job. He really, really does. And there's no doubt about that. Well, Jeff, terrific stuff as always, and kind of fill in the listeners on all the stuff you got going on.
Sure. On the air here at 4, 6 to 10, and appreciate you guys, and thank you so much, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, it's 10:49 here on the Gary Harris Show. We got one segment to go. We will be open for phone calls in this final segment. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline, and we'll get you ready for tomorrow's show as well as... Wow, this has been such a crazy week with SEC Media Days that Friday, the TJF edition, I hope it's not anticlimactic with all the SECs. But anyway, listen, it'll be good. Everybody will be back from Atlanta. We'll kind of get back in a rhythm. And remember, fall camp starts in a couple of weeks at Alabama. So we plenty of football talk tomorrow as well. But we'll be right back for the rest of this show right after this. Going down to take a look at me.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Game, we'll talk SEC Media Days with Rodney Orr. We'll have a chance to throw it around. We'll recap a busy weekend in the ATL, Alabama. Still plenty of content. We'll discuss that starting at 2 p.m. here on the Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Serving part-time time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide!
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the
Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue.
Now save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another hot, humid day today. Partially sunny, a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. The low tonight, 74. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. A few scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:54. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Again, sorry we couldn't get Marcel Darius on. We'll work on getting him on another day. But right now, hey, this is a treat. Hadn't heard from Digger in a while. So Digger is going to join the program to close us out. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Why can't we have the meeting in Orlando?
Orlando?
Why can't we have the meeting in Houston, New Orleans? I mean, come on. They got to move this thing around.
They're going to move it around. They're going to move it around. You know, I had it out in Dallas last year. So, but I just think Atlanta this week, from what I've talked to my people that are over there, they said it's been a blast.
Well, of course. I mean, and it's a nice little segue with the College Hall of Fame. But I got to tell you, you're only 100 miles. I mean, there's no SEC teams in Dallas or Houston, and there's not one in Atlanta. I know there's one in Nashville, and it's a good spot. But, hey, there's nothing wrong with bringing it to Orlando where I can go and play a little golf and come to this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for the family and everything. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Other than the blip that they had with the A&M war hymn while Sarkisian's walking up, you know. I'm not making a big deal about it, but come on. That's a blunder. And then, you know, maybe you can correct it by sending it to Orlando or New Orleans or Houston. You know, I mean, Atlanta's fine and everything, but you saw that. Come on. All-star game for the second year in a row. Get it. I get it. Man, it was hard to get around. I'm hearing this from other people who said it was difficult to get around. And then you got Beyonce. That woman, I'm telling you, moves the needle.
She does. Okay.
Everybody was there. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see it go to Orlando. Just your take on it.
I agree with this. We need to have a venue next year. It's not for the major, not with the same time at the Major League All-Star Baseball game. Oh, how about that? And Home Run Derby.
That won't happen because it's in Philly.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I like your point on that. The only thing with Orlando is what happened? Digger gone? All right. Well, I'll give you my take. Orlando. It's in the state of Florida. I know you got the University of Florida in Gainesville. I don't know, though. I just don't get the SEC football vibe. Do you chase for Orlando in July for SEC football? I don't know how many. Yeah, the media is going to be there, but I don't know if the town is going to be that pumped up about it. It
gives me like UCF kind of feel.
I don't know where they're going yet. Like I said, maybe there'll be an announcement today. Of course, again, I'm always going to be biased toward Birmingham and Hoover. And as much as I love Hoover, I mean, to some degree, there's a feeling maybe they've outgrown that with how big this event is become. But obviously, Nashville, you just had Dallas last year, Atlanta this year. New Orleans is a possibility. They could do it anywhere they want. I mean, anywhere in Florida would work. But I see the point on Orlando from Digger there as far as the stuff that can go along with being there. The problem is if you're a media person, you don't get to play a lot of golf. You won't get to play any golf much. But if you're down there just to be a fan, then maybe so. I thought he was calling in to comment on the fact that I think Arch Manning is going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate. And I listened to a little bit of Ryan's show yesterday afternoon. He doesn't agree. He says that he's not sure that Arch is going to live up to the hype, but I think he will. I think he's going to be a phenomenal football player. So, all right, that's going to do it for the day's show. Been a little bit of a different show, but tomorrow we'll be ready to go with the TGIF edition, and hopefully it'll work out for Adam Amin to rejoin us. He told me that he should be good to go tomorrow. I had a scheduling conflict last week, but we'll look forward to the Friday edition, get ready for the weekend. Listen, I'm going to try to take a little time off next week. I may be in here on Monday. But as we've talked about, I need a break. So I'm working it out now to try to get down to the beach for a few days, Chase. But right now my plan is maybe to do Monday and then have to figure out how I'm going to get people to cover for me. But we'll worry about that when it gets here. I'll definitely be here tomorrow for the TGIF edition. All right, thanks to Alabama Credit Union and to Patterson Law Firm. Lunch is right around the corner. Why don't you check out Brick and Spoon? They've been going since 7 o'clock this morning, but they'll be ready for lunch today too. They've got, in addition to all their great regular menu items, they've got a special lunch menu Monday through Thursday from 11 to 1 for like $9.99, and it's got some good stuff on it. So downtown at Timberson Square, that's Brick and Spoon. All right, the Miller's Edge is coming up next, and I'll talk to you tonight on TV and see you tonight on TV on WVUA 23, then back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show. Have a great day, everybody.